Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace a little bit better and talk about the message from the previous week. This week, my guest is Will Runyon. Will, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Will, how long have you lived in the area?
My whole life. I actually was born at Washington Hospital, which is quite literally like a mile away. And I've lived here technically 28 years. You could take out five if you want to be literal. I lived in Chico for during college, so about 5 years away, but then I moved back.
All right, so now, you're back. So you've been here your whole life. Have you been at Prince of Peace the whole time?
No. So my family was from here. So like I have an aunt and uncle who've gone here for, I want to say like 20 years.
Okay.
Yep. And my little cousin went here from kindergarten through eighth grade. So I've always been like around. I've volunteered at like the 4th of July parade. Mm. I've helped build stuff or walk in the parade and handed out candy. And
okay.
I've done random like volunteer events here throughout my life. But I typically kind of church hopped with my family from like Oakland all the way to Warm Springs.
Okay.
So I've been in a lot of different churches.
All right. So now you're at Prince of Peace. And if I am correct, what brought you really to Prince of Peace was work.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And so what do you do at Prince of Peace?
So I am the like overall IT person.
The
IT guy. Exactly. And it's a very much larger job than I expected.
Yeah.
With what I'm in charge of. Because first you think, IT is like computers, maybe some phones, things like that. But then you add on, the Bell system and streaming every Sunday and like projectors and just
smart screens.
Exactly. You think of like pretty much anything with an electric pulse, I'm in charge of.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's easy for the most part. It's all manageable, but it's a lot to do.
And there's also like a little side gig you have here too, right?
Yeah, I also do some finance here.
Stuff.
Yep, yeah, I kind of help around with the finance because being someone who like knows how to program, I'm okay with numbers.
Yeah. in short, we keep Will busy here pretty much all the time.
I'm always busy.
You're always busy. Yep. All right, Will. So I know you are a music fan in general, and so I'm curious about this. I have a guess about the genre, but what was the last band you saw in person?
And it could be any genre, right?
Any genre.
Because not technically a band. I saw Kid Cudi, who is a rapper, in Oakland at the beginning of this month, actually. Yep.
That was my guess. I know it was going to be Kid Cudi or not, but I thought it was going to be hip-hop of some sort.
Yes.
But I did see where the Kid Cudi shirt relatively recently. I didn't know if that was from the tour or not.
Yeah, it was from his tour. I went with Sierra, my girlfriend, and my best friend, and we all just kind of drove together, and we sat like up near the front. And funny enough, I actually saw my little brother there, of all people. He just happened to be going too, and we just didn't communicate that both of us were going to be there. So I was like, hey, like, what's up, dude?
Super weird.
Yeah, and so it was a really great time. I really enjoyed myself. He's one of the, like 10 artists I've like always wanted to see live.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was really nice to get that off my bucket list.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You are busy during the worship service, but you get to pay attention a little bit.
Yes.
And so I always ask the guests two things that they thought were interesting or good from the previous message. And so what do you have for us this week?
All right. So 100% honesty, I actually had to go back and rewatch the live stream that I'm in charge of.
Right.
Because as the person who is running the cameras during the live stream and also keeping track of the sound and keeping track of what's next, I maybe hear like 3 minutes of them.
There's a lot going on back there.
I get I'm very busy, and this Sunday was particularly overwhelming with just a couple like technical issues.
Yeah.
So I was very much like bouncing from one to the other, and even when I'm like sitting there looking at the cameras, I kind of have like a countdown on my head, and I'm listening to like my 30-second internal clock, and then switching cameras or whatever. So I went back and re-listened to it, and I was able to remember exactly like what I really enjoyed about it. So the first thing, I really liked your sort of like intro with the Beatles song.
Mm.
I thought that was a really interesting start because you make a very valid point that All You Need Is Love is a very like vapid song.
Yes, super vapid.
And as someone who I've never really liked the Beatles anyways.
High five on that one.
Exactly.
I'm kind of with you there.
Yep, exactly. Like I can see why people enjoy their music, and there's a few songs I'm like, that's pretty good, I guess. But as far as that era of music, I rarely listen to it.
And we have to thank them for four track recording and for everything they've done for music production and everything.
Exactly. Yes. As I've gotten older, I've learned from a technical standpoint, they're a very important band.
Yes.
I just do not like them.
and that's okay.
So I really liked that point. I was like, that's a really valid point that like when you think of the word love, and not just with the Beatles, but with a lot of like love songs, especially like pop ones.
Yep.
There isn't a lot of meaning to the word love in them.
No.
Or like it's just like a general like, oh, like I love you. And it kind of just leaves it at that without going into detail. And it sort of reminds me like with my girlfriend Sierra, when I say things like, oh, you're awesome, you're great, I love you, whatever. She's like, why? And it's not like a rude thing. She's like genuinely curious. Like, I want to hear like the details as to why you feel this way. And
define what you mean.
And I appreciate that because as someone who doesn't really speak my mind too much, it really helps me like get into like, okay, so why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And I liked that as the message went on, you really went into the detail of like what like God's love or what like the Christian love really is.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really well done.
Cool. Thank you.
Yep. So the second thing I really appreciated was the fact that you brought up the Israelites and them leaving Egypt and how short-sighted they became. I thought I was
very
like,
quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. And I mean, it's like right away, like, or not right away, because for them right away was like 40 years. And I guess it kind of makes sense, right? Like if you were like 2 years old when you left Egypt and then your entire life up to that point has been like wandering in the desert, you would be like, what do you mean back there was worse? I don't even remember. Like I'm sure it's not much worse than being stuck in the desert. And it's a very interesting thought of like how short-sighted people can become over time.
Yes.
You know, and even like today you see like people like make these big generalized statements about like, oh man, like the world sucks now. It's like, well, I mean, it's kind of always sucked.
Kind of always, but we just know more about it.
Yeah, like at least now we live longer, so that's kind of nice. Like
we live longer in a world that's no good.
Exactly, you know, but like it's very interesting to think about how short-sighted not like people were like during the Exodus of Egypt to the promised land and even just throughout the Bible, like it's a reoccurring theme of this person's short-sighted, then these things happen.
Yes.
And like half the story of Kings, or like through 1st, 2nd Kings, is like the people got short-sighted, they forgot what happened, and then bad things happened to them, and then they remembered, then they forgot again. And it's sort of a loop.
Every generation, right? It happens over and over and over again. So should we expect anything different from us right now?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's part of the reason why we have to get together all the time and talk about how good God is and his promises, because we are so short-sighted. Like we forget, if we come on Sunday, we forget by Thursday.
Yep.
Anything else, Will?
I'm trying to think. That was kind of the main two points I had. I did really enjoy the message. Like I said, I listened to it throughout yesterday and today just to kind of refresh my memory, because as the cameraman, it is very hard for me to remember messages.
It is. You know, my previous congregation, it was my job to find people for PowerPoint and to do the clicking, you know, and I would tell people, like, it's the easiest job in the world, but it's also one of the most difficult jobs, because you have to pay attention to what you're doing, because what will happen if you're not paying attention is to start engaging in the service, which is great, except if you engage in the service and you're the PowerPoint person, like doing the songs, right, you start singing along with the song, eventually be like, well, why aren't the words changing? And you're like, oh wait, that's me.
Yep.
I'm supposed to be doing that.
Exactly, which has happened to me behind the camera a couple of times, right? I'm like just staring at it and I'm like, man, this angle's getting kind of weird. Why hasn't it changed yet? I'm like, oh, that's my job.
It's unfortunate that you're asking someone to be so disengaged in the service so they can be engaged in the work at hand for more people, but that's really what happens.
But at the same time, it is nice because it gives me an excuse to go back and rewatch the stream or listen to the podcast.
That's true.
And I do, it gives me a good excuse to go back and rewatch like what I'm doing. And honestly, I kind of prefer the podcast sometimes just because when I'm watching the stream in the back of my head, I'm like, ugh, that cut was awful. I'm still kind of in that live stream manager mode.
Yeah.
I'm more focused on like the details of the stream than the actual message. So
It's like a pastor listening to his sermon again. It's like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that way. Or, oh, I can't stand my voice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that.
It's exactly that. All right, Will. I know that you make video games. You are you are a programmer, and that's one of your hobbies and one of the things you'd like to do, you know, full time in the future if possible.
Yeah.
And so, if you could take the two things together, if you could hire any band to do the soundtrack to the video game you are currently working on, I think you're working on two, but one's more than the other, right?
Yeah, one's kind of on hiatus right now.
Yeah. So, Once again, if you could hire any band to be the soundtrack for the video game you're working on right now, who would it be and why?
All right. So it's tough because there's a lot of people. I'm like, man, I would love to hear them have like a single song in a game.
Yeah.
You know, because kind of like in film, when you're watching a movie, majority of the music you hear is like background noise, right?
Yep.
It's more orchestral or from a... just sort of the point of it is to just keep you engaged with the film and the story.
Yep.
But then occasionally like a really good song will come on and it really emphasizes the scene, kind of like Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Or there's a film called Baby Driver where a lot of scenes are synced up to the like soundtrack,
the
music
actual
playing.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I had to choose, I would probably choose someone with like background music and can do like really long form music you can listen to hours on end without really getting tired of.
Okay.
So off the top of my head, it'd probably be either Daft Punk. Or he's more of a producer than an artist, but Phineas, because Phineas is Billie Eilish's brother.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of really great like music.
He's the reason why she's popular.
Exactly.
In reality.
He's like 90% of Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Is his music and lyrics.
Really anybody could have done what she's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I just think both on the opposite end of the spectrum do a really good job at keeping you engaged with the art you're consuming.
Yeah.
So like with Daft Punk, it's a very much like more upbeat, fast paced. Like I could see a lot of like action games or like racing being to like a Daft Punk soundtrack.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Phineas, I could see more of like an atmospheric video game where you're sort of taking in the environment.
And thinking of your video game, I think that either of those artists would bring very different sort of takes on it, which
exactly.
Would make the whole feel of the game very different.
Exactly that. Because you want to find like the right, with anyone, find the right sound, the right lighting, the right, like everything has to feel just right to fully experience it. Because you're dropping someone into some world and they're exploring it.
Right.
And so having either one would work really well, depending on what I wanted the player to feel.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, so Daft Punk did Tron.
Yes.
Right.
And that's exactly why I could think they could do a good video game.
Yeah, they could probably do a video game pretty well, but I don't know if it fits because yours is kind of a scary.
Yeah, mine is more based around like fear or more of like a horror film style of a game. But there's other games
which might fit Phineas better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly my thoughts. As opposed to there is other games I have concepts written out where they're more action oriented, and I could see Daft Punk fitting well in that.
Yeah, getting that heart rate up type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keeping you excited and keep going and like running around. So yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I wouldn't have guessed either of those, but they both make sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because my initial thought, right, I would be like something like, oh, like Kid Cudi or Run the Jewels or Foo Fighters or something like that.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I can't see them without their lyrics. And I feel like lyrics while like stuff's going on can get kind of distracting.
It might take away from the game.
Yep. Which like kind of on the opposite, like I mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, but if you've watched like the first Suicide Squad film, there's a lot of like soundtrack music and it distracts you when things are going on in the scene. And they will use literally the exact same song from Guardians, and you could see like how well Guardians of the Galaxy uses it. As opposed to Suicide Squad, to pull you into the movie. But Suicide Squad, it makes a huge distraction. You're just like, this sounds like I'm just have Spotify on in the background while trying to watch a movie.
Yeah, and I suppose only the games like Tony Hawk really pull off the random songs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of like music works great because you feel like you're like skateboarding and typically skate park, you have your ear pods in
and you're just.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like when I've gone to skate parks, people usually have music blasting anyway. So that environment would work really well. If I went to a level where you're at like a club or a concert, it would work really well to have music like that playing.
Right. Yeah.
But for most of the game, it would probably be something more like to just help you engross into the world you're experiencing.
More atmospheric, environmental. I get it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, Will, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't know why we took so long to have it happen. Because
I'm a very busy person.
It's true. You're a very busy person. All right. So another 6 months, we'll have you back.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds perfect.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.